Today, we are looking at James chapter 3, and the title of the message is The Power of the Tongue. So you're going to get a tongue lashing today. Did you ever hear? That's an old one, right? My grandma or whatever talking about, you're going to get a tongue lashing. I'm going to straighten you up, boy. Well, the power of the tongue to speak life. That's the important part, to speak life. And we're looking at John chapter 3, beginning at verse 2. And I'm reading from the Phillips translation, so it'll be a little different than what's up there, but I think you can get the correlation. We all make mistakes in all kinds of ways, but the man who can claim that he never says the wrong thing can consider himself perfect. For if he can control his tongue, he can control every other part of his personality. Didn't know that, did you? You can control every part of your personality if you can control your tongue. You know, told the lady, roll up the window. Your tongue's wagging in the wind. That's not true. That's a joke. Okay, just putting it out there. Men control the movements of large animals like the horse with a tiny bit placed in its mouth. Ships, too, for all their size and momentum they have with a strong wind behind them, are controlled by a very small rudder, according to the course chosen by the helmsman. The human tongue is physically small, but what tremendous effect it can boast of. A whole forest can be set ablaze by a tiny spark of fire, and the tongue is as dangerous as any fire, with vast potentialities for evil. It can poison the whole body. It can make the whole life a blazing hell. Verse 7. Beasts, birds, reptiles, all kinds of sea creatures can be, and in fact are, tamed by man. But no one can tame the human tongue. It is an evil, always liable to speak out, and the poison it spreads is deadly. We use the tongue to bless our Father God, and we use the same tongue to curse our fellow men, who are all created in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out from the same mouth? Surely, my brothers, this is the sort of thing that never ought to happen. Have you ever known a spring to give sweet and bitter water simultaneously? Have you ever seen a fig tree with a crop of olives? Or seen figs growing on a vine? It is just as impossible for a spring to give fresh and salt water at the same time. So what we're looking at here in James chapter 3 is giving us a sober reminder of the power of your words. Now, I'll speak about, you know, when God spoke the world into creation, what happened? God spoke and he created. Now, the challenge for all of us is, what world are you creating by your words? What world are you creating? You're creating the world around you by what you say. And it's important for us to understand that words have power and words create. Now, we don't think of ourselves as being that creative to speak, and what we speak comes into existence. But what happens to our dreams? What happens to our, you know, what are our plans? What do we speak about? What do we think about? And we put those into words. And so whenever we like people, we talk one way. When we don't like people, we can talk a different way. And we are creating in our own sphere of this own sphere, this own world that we live in. We're creating the atmosphere. We're creating the logic. We're creating the wisdom. It can be wisdom that we live by. And so that's why it's so important to understand what is spoken here by James. So James provides several analogies that show how the tongue, even though it is small, has the power to control one's whole person and influence everything in their life. Did you know that? It influences everything in your life. And my challenge, I used to talk about this all the time, but it really creates our world that we live in. It creates relationships, it breaks relationships, it builds relationships, it destroys relationships. So you see, James chapter 3 says, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body. It's just, you know, people out there, you know, look at it, how much does it weigh? What happens? Well, it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So we've seen these wildfires. It takes one spark and thousands and millions of acres can be burned because of one spark. What happens with our speech? We see it in the news. We have different channels, different people saying different things. And what are they trying to do? Some of them are trying to ignite a fire. Their words are trying to ignite a fire to get people to burn, you know, get them upset or going in one direction. And others are speaking and wanting things to catch fire and or to heal and to restore. So it's always this going on, but how are they doing it? We're going to have a riot. Speak, you know. How you speak set things afire. So if they didn't speak, there would be no fire. Well, let's go on. So our speech, whether it's directed at others or whether it's directed at ourselves, it's important. When our speech is directed to others, but sometimes our speech is directed to us. We are building up, your speech will build up or tear down. Your speech will bless or it will curse. Your speech will heal or it will destroy. It is the power of language. It's the power of the tongue. Did you know when you're on the phone and you smile to come through on your voice? You didn't know that. Okay. Smile when you're talking to somebody. Well, they can't see it. What do I need to smile for? It's reflected in your tone of voice. So James warns us that the tongue, though it is small, can inflict a tremendous havoc if it is unchecked. Just because you think it don't mean you have to say it. No amens? Yeah, okay. So just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. And just because you say it doesn't mean you have to mean it. But that's too bad. It's already there. See what I mean? So, mean what you say, say what you mean. That's an old saying. So, life can be exciting or it can be depressing. It's usually based on how we speak to ourselves and to the situation around us. We can be an encourager, we can be a discourager. We can be a Debbie Downer or a David Uplifter. I put my name in there. We can encourage or discourage others by what we say. So to speak evil implies suspicion. To speak evil implies suspicion. Evil intent. Do you know what their intent was? I know what it was. Evil often is a misrepresentation of truth. Evil can always flip the truth. Well, you don't really know what they were meaning when they gave that compliment. I bet it was sarcasm. They didn't really mean something good about you. They're evil. The evil tongue. The evil eye. Jealousy, envy, wrath, malice. All this is evil. It takes us in a negative direction. So these words and actions all comprise a flame of fire, a spark that is trying to ignite something. If we don't like someone, we will ignite a fire under them and lie about them. And so maybe they'll burn. They won't have any friends. Of course, you do that with love. That's a joke. So, my wife's going to say, too much coffee. She's setting a fire under me. So, there is a proverb, which I said, mean what you say what you mean. Sometimes it is difficult to say what we mean. Do you know why? We're afraid we might hurt somebody's feelings. Mean what you say what you mean, put it on the table. It means to do it in a way that is healing, not hurtful. Now, all of you remember the old song, Turn Your Radio On? How many don't remember that? Turn your radio on. Turn the light down low, you know, whatever. But anyhow, I'll use the illustration. You have a radio in your car, your house, somewhere. Well, what happens is there is a broadcast center and there is a receiver. Now, in relationships, I used to do this when I was counseling, you know. In relationships, the person who's broadcasting and the person who is receiving are not getting the same signal. He or she is saying one thing, the receiver is interpreting an entirely different way. So what's wrong? Is it the broadcaster or is it the receiver? Does it just get triangled up in the middle? Well, the challenge is if we are in a negative mindset and that we are, our self-talk is negative about ourselves, we are interpreting the message that is being sent. We are interpreting the signal from the person who is sending it from the base, and we are distorting the message, leaving out words here and there that change the message and its intention. We could just, I could go over here and speak a word into someone's ear and repeat it. By the time it got over there, what do you think will happen? That's not what I said. Well, sometimes that's what happens in our life, that we are misinterpreting things because of our conversation to ourselves. So, the other day at Valley Dairy, yes, I go to Valley Dairy. I eat ice cream. So, but anyhow, they had two radios on. You know, one was coming through the front through the ceiling, and the other was from the cook. And both were loud, and I said, can you turn one of them off? You know, because you can't hear one or the other, just as, it's like, cut it out. So whenever we are hearing bunches of signals that we're not listening, we're not focused on what's being said. And the challenge for us is that we be focused on what God is saying to us. That's the main station. That's the main broadcast center. What does the scripture say about you? What does the scripture say about your life? I have a plan for you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you. So anything in our life that would say, my life's not on course, my life is off course, my life has made a mistake, I've made too many sins, I've done that kind of self-talk, where do you think it leads? Down the path of destruction and doubt, and we're constantly getting the quagmire, the quicksand of self-confidence, of no self-confidence, and all of life is a failure because of this is where I'm at. There's no plan or purpose. Well, all of our mistakes, God knew what they were going to be long before we did. And guess what? He didn't use those things against us to save us and be with us now. God doesn't use our failures against us. He knew these things were going to happen, so he gives to us his grace and his mercy, and he says, okay, get out of the mud. But I can't. I can't lift up my legs. You know, look at what I've done. And God says, yeah, I know, get out of the mud. But, you know, I'm going to lose my boot. Well, lose your boot, get out of the mud. If you've ever been in mud that's real thick and sticky, you can lose your feet, lose your boots. And if you've done that in the barnyard, you don't want to put them back in the boot. I've learned that. And I wasn't taught that by my mother either. I learned it by experience. We often think of how we talk to others, but the question is, how do you speak to yourself? Your self-talk. The inner dialogue that no one hears but you. If you would broadcast that inner dialogue, no one would be around you, especially those who are negative. So, the tongue reveals the heart. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, "It is impossible," this is Jesus talking now, "it is impossible for a good tree to produce bad fruit." You want to know what somebody's like? Pick their fruit. What are the fruits of their life? Is it good? Is it intentional to do the right thing? Or is it about lying and cheating and stealing and backbiting and cursing? And that's bad fruit. So, it is impossible for a good tree to produce bad fruit, as impossible it is for a bad tree to produce good fruit. Do not men know that what a tree is by its fruit? You cannot pick pigs from the briars, gather a bunch of grapes from a blackberry bush. A good man produces good things from the good stored up in his heart. And a bad man produces evil things from his own store of evil. For a man's words will always express what he has been treasured, what he has treasured in his heart. See, that's why we're talking about how that God influences our heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on the inside will find its way out. And you have to, and whenever you're hearing yourself say things, you need to pay attention. Wow, that's what's in my heart. Wow, that's the kind of fruit that I'm bearing. I don't like that fruit. I wouldn't eat that fruit. You know, whenever you bite into an apple and you find half a worm, it's a bad fruit. So what are you going to do? Are you going to eat the worm and say, throw away the apple? Nobody said amen on that one either. So, here we are. We have illustrated goodness and evil in the hearts of men. If you want to know what a person is like on the inside, listen to their speech and their conversation. Listen to what they're talking about. Listening to where they're trying to lead you. Listen to what's going on by what they say. Pay attention to what other people say. Don't write it off, all that, just that's nothing. That's, well, after a while, it's destructive. So, know your own heart. Do you speak truth? Do you build, exhort, encourage, support, learn? Do you speak of friendships? Do you speak of love and relationships and things that are good? If there be any good, if there be any virtue, think on these things. You know, the world is full of negativity, but also the world is full of love and grace and mercy from the Spirit of God through Christians. So, what about your conversation? What about the conversation that goes on in your head? Are you listening to the wrong station? Self-talk is not just about having a positive attitude. It's about aligning our inner voice with God's truth. Ask yourself, what do I believe about me? Do my words that I speak about me align with what God says about me? Am I speaking life or death over my life and over my future? Am I creating my future by my words? God spoke the world into existence. He gives us that same power, I believe, to speak our world into existence. To speak what it is we believe in. To speak where we want to go in life. To speak what's important in our life. To put value to what is important, we speak about it. I value that. This is important to me. And so we say that and we put it in words. you know, speak with grace. You know, speak with grace and Mary and Jane and John. Speak with grace. Thank you. Got a laugh in the back. Speak with grace is kindness and mercy and favor. Speak those things to others and to yourself. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. He used to say, if you say that, you know, I'm going to put soap in your mouth. I never got that, but I've seen pictures of people with soap in their mouth. My brother, he ate the soap. No, he didn't. But he deserved to, anyhow. But do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up. If it's not worth building somebody up, it's not worth saying. Very much includes what you say to yourself. If it's not going to build you up, what are you talking about it for? Instead of, I'm not good enough, say, I'm growing and God is with me. I mean, think about this. What would God say to you? Baby, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good. Would God say that to you? No. He'd say, you're forgiven. You've got grace. You've got mercy. All things are possible. Make your dreams. I've put these dreams and thoughts inside of you. Speak about them. Grow towards them. And be encouraged, knowing that defeat is just another thing that comes along with success. So instead of, I always mess up, say, God is working with me. God is working for me. God is working in me. Instead of, I can't do this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, speaking faith, speaking grace, speaking forgiveness, speaking confidence, talk yourself through a situation, not out of one. Train your tongue to align with truth. Train your tongue to speak the truth. James doesn't leave us hopeless. He reminds us that the tongue can be tamed, not by our own strength, but by the wisdom that comes from God. We find that in James 3, verse 13. Are there some wise and understanding men among you? Then your lives will be an example of the humility that is born of true wisdom. Your lives will be an example of humility that is born in true wisdom. But if your heart is full of rivalry, bitter jealousy, then do not boast of your wisdom. Don't deny the truth that you must recognize in your innermost being, in your innermost heart. You may acquire superficial wisdom, but it does not come from God. There is a wisdom that does come from this world, from the lower nature, from the evil one, and from the devil. For whether you find jealousy and rivalry, you also find disharmony and all other kinds of evil. See, we've got these signals that tell us what's going on the inside. What are you talking about? How are you? James is helping us here. And then verse 17, here are some things that we are to have. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. That's the most important thing about it. And that's not all. It also loves peace. It's gentle. It thinks about others. It's approachable. Willing to yield. It obeys. Obeying God's word. Obeying. It is full of mercy and good fruit. This wisdom is fair. It doesn't pretend to be what it is not. It's full, in another version says, full of tolerant thoughts. Full of tolerant thoughts. A kindly action. No favoritism or hint of hypocrisy. So when we fill our hearts with and minds with the word of God, our speech begins to reflect God's word. It begins to reflect grace, mercy. It begins to tell us about hope and long-suffering and being, I can do this, I can make this. Verse 18, the wise are peacemakers who go on quietly sowing the harvest of righteousness in other people and in their lives. So wisdom is more than just speculative, there it is. Wisdom is more than a speculative knowledge. You know, wisdom, it's like having insight. But see, the Hebrew meaning is much deeper. It is skillfully applying knowledge to the matter of practical living. Wisdom is applying knowledge, applying what we know, applying the word to how we live our life. That's wisdom. Allowing God's love to forgive you, and then when you want to speak hatred, don't. When you want to speak bitterness, don't. Remember my story of Bob Newhart, his counseling? He had the lady in for counseling. Bob Newhart's a comedian from years ago. And lady comes in for counseling, and he tells her so much money for 5 minutes. He says, all we're going to need is five minutes. And she starts with this problem. He says, stop it. And she goes on. He says, stop it. Goes on, stop it. He says, time's up. So basically, if what you're doing is not right, then just stop it. Don't keep doing the wrong thing. So wisdom is used only here in the New Testament. And it's a professional who would skillfully apply their expertise to a practical situation. You want to know what wisdom is? Your expertise applied to what you can do or what's going on. So, verse 14 and 16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, if you harbor them, if you let them stay there, you anchor them in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from the heart, but is earthly. So what you harbor, bitterness is characterized as undrinkable water. I like that. Bitterness is characterized as undrinkable water. When people are bitter, here, have a taste of bitterness. No, I don't. It doesn't taste good. God didn't call us to be bitter. Envious, provocable people. Envy had a harsh, resentful attitude towards others. God is sending out a signal. And being receptive of that signal says to us grace, mercy, peace, forgiveness, love. So the bottom line to this message is, what you say to yourself is more important to you than what God says. See? Is what you say to yourself more important than what God says to you? And so we have to make a choice. Are we going to listen to God? Are we going to listen to that doubtful, chaotic, satanic life that speaks evil to your life and want you to spread it? If you're not listening to God, then you are saying, I'm in charge of my life, I'm in charge of my thoughts, I'm in charge of where I'm going, and that's how it's going to be. Well, to change, to be more successful, to have encouraging thoughts, to arrive at a place in your life where you want to fulfill God's plan that's going to be best, the best life you can possibly have, say yes to God's thoughts. For God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above yours. So what we have to do is we have to learn to listen to the thoughts that are coming from God through His Word. You know, it doesn't come from, you know, it comes from people speaking the word, you reading the word, and you are listening, and your elevation, your desires are upward to build the relationship with God, to build the kingdom of God, and in so doing, we are building our own life. God's broadcast tower. It's almost like satellite radio. It's from the heavens, but it's not satellite radio. So, in order for this to happen, we need to be purposeful, we need to be intentional, and we need to be learning. Read the Word of God daily. If you know, it's hard sometimes to read scriptures, read a chapter, read a verse. Read a devotional. Get a devotional that talks about the plan of God or the good things of God and the encouragement of God. Practice gratitude. Say thank you out loud. Practice gratitude. Open the door for someone. Hold it open for someone. It's like the guy who was taking the old lady across the street, and she's banging him and hitting him the whole way, and he's trying to help her across the street. And once he gets her to the other side, he says, "Why are you hitting me?" She says, "I didn't want to cross the street." Pay attention to what people want to do. Affirm God's promises over your life. You see, God has nothing but good things promised for you. Every good and perfect thing is from above. He has good things for your life. He has good fruit in your life. Repent quickly when you make a mistake. No one's perfect. You're going to fail. You're going to fall down. Well, get up again. Repent. James 3 challenges us to be mindful of our thoughts. Be mindful of your thoughts. Be mindful of your self-talk. Don't talk down to yourself. Don't belittle yourself. Don't criticize yourself. Learn the truth, and you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you need to change, then change. Don't sit there and bellyache about how bad I am. Don't let your tongue be the spark of destruction. Let it be the source of living water. Evil, no, it's not evil. It is bitterness is undrinkable water. But you see, love and uplifting thoughts is drinkable. It's tasty. You know, we got a new refrigerator. Our old one broke down. And they have this filter in there. We don't buy water anymore. Because this filter that's in our new refrigerator, the water really tastes good. So we quit buying water and keep getting it out of the refrigerator because it's filtered. Let God filter what's in your mind and in your heart. Speak the truth in love. Let the Word of God, the wisdom that comes from God, is first pure, then loving, gentle, approachable, full of tolerant thoughts, kindly actions, with no hint of favoritism or hint of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a hypocrite play acting. And the wise are peacemakers who go on quietly sowing a harvest of righteousness. So let what you are drinking be fresh water, that is drinkable water for you and for those around you. Check what's going into your life. Checking what's going out of your life. So what you say, you are creating. So create a good life. Create hope. Create mercy and grace and love. And you'll find that your life changes by your creation, your words. Let's stand. We thank you, Jesus, that you give us words of life. You are the living word. You are living water flowing out from God. Let that living water flow out from our hearts, for out of the abundance of the heart, what we have in supply and oversupply in our heart, we speak about it. So let the abundance of our heart speak love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, gentleness, meekness, kindness, long-suffering. God, let us speak the truth in love. Mean what we say, say what we mean. Create a good life. Create a godly life by what we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.